You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then Jesus said, there is no other commandment greater than these. This then is the crown jewel of all commandments. This is the Grand Canyon of commandments. This is the pinnacle. This is as high as it gets. And Paul would agree. He wrote that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love.
Loving our neighbors can be hard to do. In fact, recent surveys have found that 6 in 10 people never talk to their neighbors. That may be because we're all busy, but then again, it may be because we just don't like them. In fact, the same studies found that many folks complain that their neighbors are loud, have overflowing trash bins, block their driveways, and the list of grievances goes on and on. Well, today on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, Skip Heitzik introduces us to the 11th commandment. That's right, there are actually more than 10, because when Jesus came, he gave us another. And we'll see that today as Skip begins the final teaching in this series, God's Top 10, with number 11. But first, we want to tell you about our new resource for December, all about prayer.
Recent research has found that Google searches for the word prayer have surged worldwide alongside the spread of the novel coronavirus. In fact, Google Trends data shows that the search intensity for prayer doubles for every 8,000 COVID-19 cases. But is there a right way or a more effective way to pray? Here's best-selling author Kay Arthur.
Where the battle's raging, we're to be on the front lines. On the front lines on our knees, on the front lines standing in the full armor of God.
Kay's book, Lord, Teach Me to Pray in 28 Days, offers simple but powerful instruction on how and what to pray and what to expect when you do. And it's our way to say thank you when you give a gift of $25 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
And now let's join Skip in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35.
Somebody once said, love may not make the world go round, but it sure makes the trip more enjoyable. And that little statement expresses the universal sentiment that the sweetest of all human emotions is love. Well, the last 16 weeks we have looked at God's top 10, the 10 commandments. And we have gone through it very slowly, as you know. This is the 17th installment in that study. And we have taken 1 week, in some cases 2 weeks per commandment. And the reason we've probed so deeply and looked at every word and every nuance and all of the application is because the 10 commandments are foundational in Scripture, also foundational for us as a nation. I don't know if you know this, but as you walk up to the Supreme Court building, on the east pediment is a relief, statues cut out in stone of all the great lawgivers lined up, and all of them are turned inward facing Moses as he stands there with the 10 commandments. Right there on our nation's Supreme Court, the idea that the 10 commandments are foundational for us and our laws as a nation. Well, today, I've had you turn to John chapter 13. We sort of depart from that, but want to put the icing on the cake of the 10 commandments study by looking in the New Testament, where Jesus in the upper room, in this beautiful display of humility and love, washes his disciples' feet, and then he turns to them and he gives them a message called the Upper Room Discourse. And in the Upper Room Discourse, he says, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Well, let's look at it. In verse 34 of John chapter 13, the Lord Jesus speaks, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Every generation has sung about love, spoken about love, written about love, and it would seem still doesn't quite know the definition of love. What does it mean to love? Well, A group of professionals asked some 4 to 8 year old kids what love was. And I always love hearing what children think about anything. It's very refreshing and sometimes very profound. Well, one child says, "This is what love is. When a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and they smell each other." Can't you just picture it? Another kid says, "Love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more." Mommy and daddy are like that. And they look gross when they kiss. One girl said, "I let my big sister pick on me because my mom, he says, she only picks on me because she loves me. So I pick on my baby sister because I love her too." Another child says, "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day." Ripe. "Love is what's on Valentine's Day cards. You know, the stuff we'd like to say, but you'd never be caught dead saying it." And finally, this child, I think, has pretty close to the truth. "When my grandma got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandpa does it for her, even when his hands got arthritis too." That, says this child, is love. Well, that certainly is love. Whoever that child was got it very, very close to the biblical standard of love. Now, we notice something in verse 34. This is a commandment that Jesus gives, a commandment to love, which doesn't quite sound right to our ears, does it? Okay, here's an order, love. Because typically we think, well, love is voluntary, isn't it? Isn't it an emotion that arises spontaneously? Yes and no. Yes, it's voluntary, meaning it's a choice. No, it's not necessarily an emotion that rises spontaneously from the heart. It is given in command form because it is not optional. It is absolutely the summary of all of the commandments given. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 22, "On these two, loving God and loving your neighbor, hang all the law and the prophets." Now, just a side note, something interesting. I like to study how many times words appear. The word love appears in the Gospel of John from chapters 1 through 12, only 12 times. So about an average of one usage per 12 chapters. 12 times in chapters 1 through 12. However, in the rest of the Gospel of John, from chapter 13 to 21, guess how many times the word love appears? 44. Now, why is that? Well, number one, we're moving toward the end, the culmination of Jesus' life, and the ultimate demonstration of love is going to be on the cross. And the core value that Jesus wants to pass on to his men, the disciples, is that of loving one another. So we find its frequency and its intensity employed as we go through it. Well, we're going to look at this commandment that Jesus gives, and there are several things I want you to notice about it. First of all, it's a substantive commandment. I mean, it's weighty. It's weighty because it's given by the Lord himself. "A new commandment I give to you." It's the Lord Jesus himself, incarnate love, who is speaking. The one who said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The one who appears with Moses, the lawgiver, on the Mount of Transfiguration. The one who said, "I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it." This is the one who says, "I give to you a new commandment." Now, some of you who study the scripture and know it well are thinking, "Hey, now, wait. This isn't new. I've read this before in the Old Testament." And you're right. You're right because it appears, so to speak, in Leviticus chapter 19, the 18th verse, where it reads, "Never seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone, but love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord." So what does Jesus mean then when he says, "I'm telling you something new. Here's a new commandment"? I'm glad you asked. The word new is kainos. And it does not mean recent. It does not mean new in age or in chronology. If Jesus wanted to use that, he would have turned to a different word, and that is naos. That means new in age or recent. Jesus uses the word kainos, which you could translate it, here's a fresh commandment. Here's a renewed commandment. Here is something unprecedented. It's not new information, but it is a new application or a renewed application of the old revelation. What Jesus is doing is summing up the last six commandments into one easy to remember commandment. You could take all of the last six commandments, the second table of the law, and sum it up with this. It's the irreducible minimum of the last six commandments. As Paul writes in Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. So here's a renewed, fresh, unprecedented in its application commandment. And what is the commandment? What is it that he commands us to do? To love. And you know the word for love. We've talked about it. In fact, it's probably the first word anybody learns when they become a Christian in the Greek language. It's the word agape, or agapao, which is the love of the will. And here's something interesting about the word agape, by the way. You find it all over the Bible. And though it's a Greek word, it seems to appear nowhere else in any ancient pagan Greek literature. You don't find the word agape. You find other terms that the Greek language employs, but you do not find this word. It seems to be a brand new invention to describe a brand new thing, a brand new way of loving. It is, as I mentioned, the love of the will. It is not a feeling that you can't control. It's a choice that you absolutely can control. It's not a warm response or a fuzzy feeling toward those who are kind and lovable. Very, very different than that. And loving people isn't the same as liking people. I just want to let you off the hook here because, honestly, I don't think you like everyone. And you know what? I don't think you're supposed to like everyone. I don't think God likes everyone. I know he loves everyone, but when it comes to attitudes and behaviors and actions that are built into a person's character, God doesn't like that. In fact, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. But at the same time, the attitude, the choice of God's perfect love is toward all people. So, William Shakespeare, believe it or not, came very, very close to a perfect definition of agape love in one of his love sonnets. In fact, it was sonnet 116 where he says, "Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, nor bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken." That's very close to the idea of what agape love is in the scripture. It is the love of the will, the love of choice, not the love of liking or human emotion. So when a husband sits next to a wife with his arms folded across a counseling table and says, "I don't love her anymore," know that it's a choice or a series of choices that he has made. So this is a substantive commandment given by the Lord himself. It's renewed, it's fresh. Second thing I want you to notice about this commandment, it's a superlative commandment. That is, Jesus said it is the greatest of all of the commandments that are given. Jesus sums up not just the second part of the Ten Commandments, but all of the Ten Commandments in that word love. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, there was a man who came up to Jesus, and he was a scribe. He was a religious leader. And probably trying to trap the Lord, he said, okay, what's the first, the greatest commandment? Jesus quickly answered him, you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. That is the greatest commandment, the first. But the second is like it. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then Jesus said, there is no other commandment greater than these. This then is the crown jewel of all commandments. This is the Grand Canyon of commandments. This is the pinnacle. This is as high as it gets. And Paul would agree. He wrote that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. So essentially what Jesus does here is takes all of the Christian life, all of Christian responsibility, and he summarizes it and prioritizes it, saying, do this, love God, love people, and you'll have it wired. It is Christianity in a nutshell. Question, why is this the greatest commandment? Why is this the superlative, most essential of all the commandments? One of the answers is in the way God wired us. God wired human beings to be relational. And the peak of human relation is real love. So that every person craves love. In fact, I would say you would do almost anything in the world to get love. If you knew that you would be unconditionally loved for just who you are, and that you would have the capacity to give unconditional love. That's what people want. That's what people are searching for. Dr. Carl Menninger, who founded the famous Menninger Clinic, I think in Topeka, Kansas, before he died, decided to do an experiment. He had several people come into his clinic, and he wanted to find the very core of all of their illnesses. So he embarked on an experiment. He told his clinical staff, for the next several months, this is what I want you to do. Everybody that comes to the door, make sure that they are in an environment of creative love, his words, creative love. Give them large doses of love, which means no bad attitudes will be tolerated by you. If I see a bad attitude, you're out of here. I want there to be a pervasive, ongoing atmosphere of creative love. After the experiment, he noted within 6 months that the average stay of the patients in his clinic was cut in half after that. Cut in half. And he said, love cures people, both the ones who give it as well as the ones who receive it. So what do we have here? We have a fresh, renewed commandment given by Jesus himself to employ the love of the will, to choose to act toward people in a certain way, which is the irreducible minimum, the summary of all of the commandments that are given. The third thing I want you to note is that this is a comparative commandment. In other words, there's a benchmark, there's a standard that Jesus gives so that we can compare our love to that standard to see if we've hit the mark.
You know, love goes beyond what we say. It's an act of the will. And Skip Heitzik will talk more about this commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves when he concludes this teaching, the 11th commandment. The teaching you just heard was the final message in the series, God's Top 10. Have you ever been asked how 10 commandments given thousands of years ago are relevant to us today? As you follow along in this series, you'll find out how each of God's instructions applies to daily living. Be encouraged and inspired as you listen again and share this series with a friend. You can do that when you purchase a copy of this entire series for your audio library. God's Top 10. Get all 17 teachings bundled as an audio CD package for just $39 plus shipping. And now let's go in studio to check in with Skip and his wife Lenya today.
So we're coming to an end of God's Top 10, and you throw us a curveball. What? You say there's an 11th commandment. And really, Jesus reduced things to two and said, love your neighbor as yourself.
He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right. And so sometimes that's the hardest for us to follow, because a lot of us don't even know our neighbors, except that we do, a lot of them by name. So do you have some tips that you can give us to begin reaching out?
And when it talks about neighbor, it doesn't just mean the people that live next door to you in your neighborhood, though that is your neighbor technically. Your neighbor is anyone other than you. Anyone other than you that you come into contact with is your neighbor. So when Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, first of all, it wasn't new in the sense of it never existed before, because that's a quote out of Leviticus 19. It comes from the Old Testament. So when Jesus used the word new, he meant renewed. A fresh, let's take a fresh look at something is the idea. Let me apply it.
Renewed in priority?
Exactly. And certainly to your point, Jesus said that was one of the top two, that you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So key to understanding that is that Jesus said that you will love people like I have loved you. So he didn't just say, start loving people as you see fit, as you feel like you ought to love them, but do it as I do it. So now we have a model. We have something to trace and get a good picture of, and that is the love of Jesus Christ.
But that didn't make it any easier, did it?
Didn't make it easier.
It's his greater love.
But if you look at him, then you get a good idea of what it's like. So what was Jesus' love like? Well, it was sacrificial, right? He gave himself. He gave his time. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. So we know his love is sacrificial. So our love to some degree has to have sacrifice in it. We know his love was unconditional. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, there were no conditions or stipulations tied onto that statement. So it's unconditional, sacrificial. The third thing is it's non-reciprocal. Necessary. It doesn't have to be reciprocated. It doesn't have to have
I'll do this if you do that.
Feedback. So it's unending, non-reciprocal love. The Bible says in Romans 5, while we were sinners, he loved us, died for us. So we have a good description of, though we're not going to love exactly like Jesus, because after all, he was God in a human body, we have a template, we have a model with which to love. And here's something about God's love. He pours it out into us. The same book of Romans says that God has shed his love abroad, or poured out his love into our hearts.
That's a relief. It makes it possible, because for me, maybe it's impossible, but with God coming in and through me, then I have the potential to love as he loved.
He never calls us to be manufacturers, but distributors. So he'll pour out the love, and he just says, don't hold on to it, give it away.
Well, thanks so much, guys, and I hope you'll take some time to connect with Skip today. You can when you like him on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, or Instagram. And the hub for all that is at connectwithskip.com. When it comes to loving our neighbor as ourselves, there's one example to follow, Jesus. And we'll see how he modeled this for us next time here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.